Market View on Money FM 89.3.
We shift our focus out west today, and honestly, it was a very different world for Wirecard 20 days ago. But with the revelation of almost 2 billion euros that went missing from their balance sheets and accusations of fraud and accounting malfeasance, the fintech darling that at one time had a bigger market cap than Deutsche Bank itself has now filed for insolvency. But what does the future hold for both Wirecard, the various regulators and stakeholders on the hook, and also the many companies and vendors in Singapore and across the world that rely on Wirecard's services? Well, today on Market View, we're joined by Mr. Neil Campling, who's the head of technology, media, and telecommunications unit of Mirabaud Group, an investment group that and where he actually covers Wirecard as part of his company coverage. He's here to share his thoughts on what went wrong with Wirecard and what the future might hold for the industry. Mr. Campling, thank you so much for joining us today. I know it's early out in London. Good morning to you, sir. I hope you've been well.
Very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
So, Mr. Campling, you know, you've been fairly unimpressed with Wirecard for quite some time now, and you even as early as 2019, you signed a value to their stock of zero. Actually, can you talk to us about what you saw back in those days that had you so downbeat on Wirecard, and why other markets might not have caught on to some of these red flags that you might have seen?
Sure. So, we met with the company in 2018, and we struggled to understand the business model because there was a lot of opaqueness around the services that they provided. We then managed to investigate some of their technologies and found it not to be differentiated and to have very poor reviews online. So we started to investigate. We looked at things like Google searches. We got reports and accounts for a number of subsidiaries, 27 in fact in total. And we found in these subsidiaries a very, very small proportion of revenues, and that they were loss-making as well. So we had a lot of flags on this that required an enormous amount of work from our team to try and uncover what was going on, and spoke to even competitors of the company. And they often said that in a bid proposal that Wirecard was never seen offering a competing bid. So there were lots of these flags, if you like, that we just investigated further. And every time that we saw a meeting or a conference call or a statement, we saw a lack of clarity, a lack of detailed information. And it just raised our suspicions significantly on the business model.
Now, one of the biggest red flags that came out after that bombshell a few weeks ago, Mr. Campling, was that 2 billion euros escaped auditors and watchdogs and might have been deemed to be fictitious. Based on your experience, how do you think 2 billion euros escapes auditors and watchdogs? And what do you think might have been the motive behind possibly keeping these off of these accounts? Could there actually have been malfeasance, or was this just gross incompetence for a company that at one point was a stalwart on the German DAX?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do think that there is criminal activity in play here. I don't believe that there was 2 billion euros on the balance sheet in the first place. I don't believe that money was actually created. The business does not seem to have activities that could generate that amount of cash in the first place. And another flag that was a concern is, if this company was producing so much cash flow as they stated, then why would they also need to tap the bond markets as they did last year? Why would they need to take in a 900 million euro amount of cash through a convertible bond via SoftBank? And why would they tap short-term loans and borrowings if they were generating so much cash? So I do think that the cash wasn't generated in the first place, and that there was a very elaborate process of taking money out of the system and to defraud effectively investors, regulators, and auditors along that process. Obviously, since information has come to light, it also appears apparent that unfortunately the auditor previously had relied on information given to them and copies of statements rather than authenticated documents. And obviously that begs the question as to why they weren't authenticated by the auditor themselves.
And, you know, that's the other big question, I think, Mr. Kampling. You've raised a number of these red flags as early as the first quarter of 2019. Surely these were also should have been spotted also by regulators and some of these auditors. Why do you think these red flags seem to have escaped the notice, at least, of some of these related regulators and auditors? Or do you think the omission or the failure to spot these might have been done on purpose?
It's difficult to know exactly why, perhaps, but to actually find the information in terms of looking at where the transactions were processed as the subsidiaries, the third-party acquiring partners, information that wasn't available in general audits, does require a lot of detailed analysis. And to be honest, the path of least resistance for those outside looking in is perhaps not to apply that rigorous process. So unfortunately, in any industry, but particularly in financial services, it does require a large degree of self-compliance. It requires a degree of truthfulness by officers and those official directors and executives of the companies, which is now why, you know, we are in a situation where perhaps unfortunately, looking forward, we will have to tighten up regulations. But actually, at the end of the day, with regulations such as KYC, Know Your Client, and AML, anti-money laundering, which is pretty much policies that are implemented worldwide, then it was executives that have been alleged to, and based on the arrests as well of executives. It appears that the executives at the company have traded in these illegal activities that perhaps were designed to avoid closer scrutiny from regulators.
I think the big question here in Singapore, Mr. Kampling, is on the part of a number of vendors. One of our associates here, actually, as a business, asked me what he needed to do, actually, because he does depend on Wirecard as a payment services. A lot of merchants here actually depend on Wirecard for these transactions. Should businesses and your typical retailers be worried about potential distress, given how much payment information Wirecard has handled for them? And if so, how difficult will it be for them to actually move to other alternatives from Wirecard should the collapse be permanent?
Yeah, it's a very good question, and it's something we've seen in other markets as well. There's been some disruption with local licenses and what folks who have paused trading for businesses relying on Wirecard. But what tends to happen generally is that you are able to swap out the payment process provider quite quick and easily. It can be either through a different hardware provider, something like a Verifone or an Ingenico or a Square type payment system. That's possible, or if it's digital, then something like a PayPal, for example. So because this business now in a cashless society, which we're all moving towards, is very much about cross-border transactions, it's about digital transactions rather than cash, then there is quite an easy way of replacing a particular vendor, because at the end of the day, if you have MasterCard or Visa license-based, you can swap out that technology. And as far as the transactions are concerned, I think that the businesses should not be worried about the information that's been shared, because it's just a processing business rather than actual maintaining that information. So they should be able to. It can cause days of disruption, but certainly within 1 to 2 weeks, it's possible to swap out that solution.
Mr. Neil Kampling, Head of Technology, Media and Telecommunications at Mirabaud Group, thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to join us today on Money FM 89.3 to share your insights on Wirecard and what the future holds for the embattled payments firm. Have a great morning ahead and stay safe, sir.
Thank you. And to you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.